Well, y'all know me, and that most of you do anyway. And when I preach, I've really never used props before. And it had to be a day when Rusty came, because I'll probably never hear the end of this. But he and I don't leave each other much slack, so he gives me a pretty hard time, and I give him a pretty hard time. So y'all gonna have to bear with me for a minute till I get my uniform on, okay? And I'll explain. You better laugh now. Are y'all ready for this? There we go. Now, y'all are going, oh my Lord. Because when I put it on, I said, oh my Lord. My son-in-law and I, y'all know, most of you know Chance, we have a dirt company and landscape company, and we were on a job a couple of weeks ago, and the requirement, it's a commercial job, it wasn't for an individual, it was for a company, and the requirement is that you have to wear a hard hat and a vest. Well, Ricky didn't have a hard hat and a vest. Thank you, Nat. So I had to go buy a vest and a hard hat. Chance had worn them before and used to it. So we're out there, and this is on 29 and 200, right out there in front of everybody. And I'm standing out there, and like I knew what I was doing. I can fake that part of the time. I'm standing out there watching my son-in-law run equipment, who is very good at it. Ricky, not so much. Not so much. But I'm standing there in this, and I'm going, what in the world? And then he stops, because I've been watching him for a little while. And I says, I really feel like I'm really not doing anything. I'd help him shoot grade, and for those of you, you know, there's a stick that you have to hold, has numbers on it, so I'd do that, or we'd take turns, and I'd shoot grade, and he'd hold the stick, we'd do that. But other than that, I'm standing there, and I said, do you need me anymore? I can go home. He goes, no, you're doing exactly what you need to do. And then in a minute, he was running the skid steer. In a minute, we had a Mini X out there, and he said, you know what? This would be a good time for you to learn how to run that. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. Went over there and sat in it, looked around. I'd driven one before. I loaded one day, but that's all I did. I loaded it, okay? It was already running, y'all. Oh, it gets better, y'all. It's all right. I'm sitting in that excavator looking around. There's a computer screen down there. I hit it a time or two. Nothing happened. He told me the code to start it. Well, I know how to start our skid steer. We have a skid steer, and I can drive it. And I'm not good at it yet, but I can run it. And nothing happened. I'm like, what is the deal? You know, found some knobs. Nothing happened. So I get off of it and go over there. He's flying with that skid steer. And we don't have a lot of room to work, you know. And I wave him down. He goes, and Chance, bless his heart, you know, he is good working with me, because he doesn't mind teaching me, and I don't mind. I'm teachable. Show me what to do. The Word says we're supposed to be teachable. Well, believe me, I'll be 58 in August, and I'm doing things that if you'd have told me, you know, a year or two ago I'd be doing, I'd have laughed at you, like standing up here in front of y'all in this. So he said, what's wrong? I said, how do you start it? He goes, did you find the key? I said, no. He said, well, there's not one. I said, that's why I didn't find it. You know, I wasn't a brain surgeon to find there wasn't a key in the thing. So he came over there and showed me. And I thought that's what it was. But, you know, there's certain buttons that, now, if it's my wife, she will turn every button. And I can say that. But me, I'm like, oh, I better not, because that might be something that, you know, hey, I'm sitting on the edge of a little cliff there, and I really don't want to go down there. So we got it started, you know, and I got to kind of the hang of it, and I'd move a little dirt and reach out there at that thing. That's pretty cool, you know, especially for guys. But I got good, because I could get more than two or three clods at one time, you know. Well, I felt real good. I moved it over and went to dump it, and three clods fell out, and I thought, ooh, I was not in my comfort zone, y'all. I'm standing there going, what am I doing? What are we doing? How many people, and you don't have to raise your hand right now, that's later, no. How many people here have gotten comfortable where you're at? You know, when we get comfortable is when things quit happening. How many of you, this is one of my favorite analogies to use. How many of you are in that comfort zone where you're just sitting on the couch eating Cheetos watching TV? Because that's comfort zone to a lot of people. You see, you've quit listening to when you hear God talk to you. And it's not necessarily just listening, but are you hearing? Or if you hear Him, you're not hearing Him. Or if you hear Him telling you to do something, it scares you. You're in your comfort zone, y'all. I can speak about being in a comfort zone. When we were in Branson, Missouri, I was comfortable. It was good. I worked 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. I was home in my hot tub at 7:15 watching the Texas Rangers on the outdoor TV. That's comfort. I guarantee you. And when Corey Ross said, why don't you come run the music at Cowboy Church, I laughed because I was comfortable. And we prayed about it. Since that move, man, I can tell y'all it's been the best thing that's ever happened to us. Best thing. But one thing that I can tell you is that's really cool is I have not been in a comfort zone since I moved here. I'm telling y'all, and that's the truth. When we think of a comfort zone, we think of, oh man, nothing's coming against me. I don't have anything going on. You know, it's just all great. There's a difference in the comfort zone and not doing anything than when you're out of your comfort zone, but you have peace and joy of the Lord. That's what we've found here. See, God moved me here and Laurie here to do music. And look, here I stand preaching. So I went, thank you. I put one fan right there. No. But here's the point, y'all. I went from music, which is still comfortable, but I'm running music at a cowboy church, which is not that comfortable. And Corey tells me, I want the music moved. So we do that. It's going great. And then all of a sudden, you're supposed to preach. It's like, what are you talking about? Because as long as I have that fiddle, I'm safe. That's that comfort, you know. That's my Cheeto, you know. That's my fiddle right there. The first time I preached, I could spit cotton balls across this room here. I guarantee you. Because I wasn't comfortable. And then I'm up here in a construction outfit. I'm running skid steer and a mini excavator. That's not comfortable, y'all. Where are you at? You got things that, you know, that you're thinking about or God's put on your heart. But it's like, nah. I'm not even following my notes, but anyway. Nah, it's good right here. Well, if you're in your comfort zone, then you're missing something. You're missing the blessing of God. Let's turn to John. Man, I'm taking this thing off. I found out when you put that thing on and you talk and it's like, boo, 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 boo. I'm like, whoa, it's too much for me. I'll leave the vest on just so y'all can see me. I don't want y'all to not see me up here, so. By the way, welcome to y'all that are watching at home. It's not your computer. It is really that bright. So, we're going to be in John 21. John 21, and we're going to be start in verse 2. Before we do, though, when you stop and think about the Bible, and you look at the people that are in the Bible, how many of them got moved out of their comfort zone? Pretty much all of them, huh? Yeah. Think about Noah, right? I mean, he's called to build something. He doesn't even know what it is. But Noah's heart was right because he said, I'm in. I'll do it. Could you send me the plans, though? I don't know what it looks like. Never seen one. Think about Esther. Think about Moses. You know, he stuttered, and he said, I can't talk. But he did. He got out of his comfort zone. And Peter's my favorite still, because he was cool. I mean, you know, he just, the things he did, he was cool. Well, this here is about Peter. In verse 2, there are together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I've been on those kind of fishing trips before where you caught nothing. Now, there's another sermon right here, because from what I studied out, these are the original five disciples that they were talking about. But that's a whole other story, but I just thought I'd point that out. If you're taking notes, you can check that later. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 5, then Jesus saith unto him, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast it therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. We're going to stop right there for a minute. So, as I was studying and praying, and I'm like, I got this, because maybe they went out of the right side of the boat because they normally fished out of the left side of the boat. So, they got out of what was normal, and they went to the right side of the boat. So, I thought, yeah, that's what I'll go with. That's what I'm being led to preach. The Holy Spirit this morning said, that's not what's there. That's not what's there. So I wrote down what he told me. Even though they didn't know who he was, they did it anyway. We don't know sometime. We think we hear from God, but we do, or if we don't act, we miss the blessing. Don't miss the blessing. Now, when the Holy Spirit led me to understand that it says in the Word that the sheep know the shepherd's voice, even though the Word right here says they didn't know it was Jesus. So this puts a light on us that when we hear something, it's like, oh no, that wasn't God. That wasn't God. Go do this. No, that wasn't God. You need to get off the couch. No, that wasn't God. Yeah, it was. Yes, it was. Don't miss the blessing. When you hear that voice, there are good things to come. However, you have to act on it. You see, if those guys had not thrown the net on the right side of the boat like they were told to, they caught so many fish. If we read on, they couldn't even put them in the boat. They had to row to shore dragging that net full of fish. They caught so many fish. Do you want to be blessed that way? Get off the couch. What's your comfort zone? Are you, you're at work and it's your favorite place to be? Said not too many people. But you're at work. I get up in the morning, I go and get my coffee, I go to the bathroom, I go eat breakfast, I get dressed, I go to work, I drive home, I come home, I get me some, if you drink sweet tea or unsweet tea, you get tea, you sit in your recliner, you turn on the TV. There's people that do that every day. Because it's easy. God wants us to be up moving. He doesn't give us witty ideas and inventions for us not to use them. He does not show us ways to prosper, to be healed, to help other people if we're not supposed to use them. You see, God gives us all this stuff. We're full of all this stuff. This stuff. He fills us up with it. How many of you are just using about this much of the stuff God gives us? Amen? Now, I'm not trying to step on your toes this morning. The reason that this is because what I'm supposed to preach, because that's what the Holy Spirit said. However, what I'm trying to get y'all to understand is that if you're in the blessing of God, there's no other place to be. It don't matter where you're at, if you're in the blessing, and the blessing comes from hearing God and doing what God said to do, it doesn't matter. It's wonderful. I'm telling y'all what Laurie and I are experiencing right now. God's been moving us, and we're doing what He said, and the blessing's flowing. And I told him Tuesday night I taught part on blessing, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that in just a minute. And I thought, man, I don't want to sound like a bragger. But Trey said it last Sunday. Trey said that when you're boasting about the Lord, it's okay. Y'all, I'm telling y'all that God is good. It's not just with two O's. It's with about 10 O's how good He is. And if you don't get that, man, you need to. You need to get a hold of what God has for you and you and you and you and you and you. He's got something special for everybody in here, but are you going to get up off the couch and do what He said? See, I like that. The one that really kind of points it out is like Peter, you know, in Luke, when God borrowed his boat and He tells them to go out in the deep and let down their nets. And I preached on this a while back, and it fits with this very well. Because back then, they didn't fish in the deep. That's not where the fish were at. I researched this. And the fish were usually along the banks back in those days. So when Jesus told them to go out there in the deep end, drop their nets, they said, well, okay. Peter said, okay. And he dropped a net. Not plural. Jesus said nets. Okay, so this wise man told me one time, and Laurie, we were visiting with this wise man, and he said something that was out of Isaiah. Peter was being obedient by dropping a net. But this wise man reminded us of something but we're supposed to be willing and obedient. But even though he was just obedient, if you remember the story, they caught so much fish, he had to call his friends to come help him. They had to come bring, and then the boats, they had so much fish, the boats were sinking. There's two points to this little story, is that the first thing is, even though he wasn't willing and obedient, but just obedient, God still did what? He blessed him. And probably some of us have done the same thing. We did it. I have. I was obedient, but it wasn't willing. Stop and think about how Peter was blessed so much just by being obedient. If he had been willing and obedient, he might have caught that whale Jonah was in. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? Is that if we do things willingly and with obedience, God's going to pour out the blessing that you can't contain. Just checking. Everybody's eyes, I hadn't seen anybody sleeping yet. That's good. When we're willing and obedient, we're blessed. Now, a real important thing, and I'm going to give a Bible study a plug, because if you weren't here on Tuesday, it was a good Bible study, not just because I taught that night, but it was good. But y'all come join us, because this is where we get to dig into things. And Tuesday night, because of what Laurie and I are experiencing, I wanted them to understand, you can be in that blessing. There's two kinds of blessings. Blessing means favor. It can mean a special benefit. You know, and if you look it up in the dictionary is actually biblical in this sense. A gift from God. It says that in the dictionary. I thought that was kind of cool because the dictionary mentioned God. And some of those people that write those things don't necessarily believe that way, but they put it in there. So there's two kinds of blessing. Spiritual blessing. In Galatians, it says that Christ was redeemed us from the curse. He became that curse so that we can receive the blessing of Abraham, which is the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, the Spirit is talking about the Holy Spirit through faith. That's faith in Jesus Christ. It's our Savior. And when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we get the Holy Spirit. That's your spiritual blessing. Man. Come on, y'all. Amen. Yeah, thank you. Man, I thought that was good. The Holy Spirit, though, when we're walking in that spiritual blessing, then we get to the second kind of blessing, which is the material blessing or the physical blessing. That's blessings of finances. That's blessings of things that we need to operate. You know, that stuff that you've been believing for. But here's what we have learned. If you put more emphasis on the material than the spiritual, then you got your horse behind the cart instead of in front of the cart. Okay? If you start learning how to tap into that spiritual blessing, then you don't even think about the material things, and all of a sudden, you look up and go, oh my gosh, it's God. It's God. You can't make this stuff up, y'all. You'd like to. The real world would like to make it up. I told this Tuesday night in Bible study. Chance and I were working together. We'd been out caught looking at bids and stuff and giving bids. And we'd got one customer had a budget. And we went and we told her we could do it for about $3,000 less than her budget. And she says, well, I want y'all to use all $15,000 of it. And we said, okay. I mean, here, oh, yeah, we'll do it. That's favor, y'all. But it gets better. Later that day, we've gone and looked at another bid, and we're driving around, and we're talking about another job. And he said, man, if we could just get those, and we were lining up things on how to work things. And so right then I just said, Father, I thank you for that job that you have for us that we need, that we're expecting, that we pray favor over that job in Jesus' name. And Chance said, I agree in Jesus' name. 10 or 15 minutes later, the phone rang, and guess what it was? And guess what they said? Y'all got the bid. Come on, y'all. But we're operating in the spiritual. We're not operating in the physical. You see, when we get a job, we don't go, oh, yeah, that was us. High five. No. We say, thank you, Jesus. We give you the glory and the honor for that job. And then when we go do that job, we try to represent God on that job. Because you forget when you have a job, he's the one that got it for you. So if I'm operating in the spiritual, then the physical comes. Yes, we pray for those things in which we need. You know, if you want, that says we can have the desires of our heart if we choose to believe. Oh, and there's a word right there, choose. Because in Deuteronomy, it says you can have life or death, blessing or cursing, and it says to choose life and blessing. Blessing comes with life. Oh, so what? Well, I have a question for y'all. So getting out of my comfort zone is a choice. Everybody say, my choice. That's right. It is your choice to get out of that comfort zone. To get a spiritual blessing is my choice. Say, my choice. That's right. A physical blessing is, this half learns quicker than this half, but that's okay. We'll pull y'all up. Good job, y'all. No, but you see where I'm going with this? It's a choice. It's a choice to sit on the couch and eat Cheetos. It's a choice to follow God and do what He wants you to do. He wants you not to be. And when I say not comfortable, that doesn't mean like sitting on a cactus and being No. But you know what I'm saying is, it doesn't mean that you're so but when you're not in your comfort zone, but you're walking in the flow of the blessing, of the spiritual blessing of our Almighty God, I can tell you that there is peace and joy like you can't imagine. And every single one of us in here should want that. And if you don't want that, then I'm sorry. Woo! Because you can't tell me that you don't want peace that passes all understanding. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Let me see where I'm at. Supposed to be. Y'all flip to Psalms 112. Say amen when you get there. Might ought to hurry, huh? I should have known. Say, oh my, if you're not there yet. Amen. It's a few oh my still. That's all right. Psalms 112. All right. So we looked at this verse Tuesday night. At verse 1 it says, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. First of all, the first thing it says is praise the Lord, because that's what we should do. Praise the Lord. We don't go to God and go, oh, I need your help. Man, why don't you go to God and say, praise you God, I know you've taken care of everything. Man, I have no worries. But we get so we just want to go and waller sometime. I love that word, waller. Just want to waller around in it. You know, that pitiful, poor, pitiful me, just waller in it. There's time, I guess, when that's okay, or it used to be. It's not fun, though. I just like to praise Him, and then He'll move you where you need to be. You see, the next part of that says, blessed. Oh, that's that word again, blessed. That's what I want to be, blessed, that feareth the Lord. Now, we talked about this. Feareth doesn't mean like, oh, I'm so scared of God. No, God doesn't want us scared of God. And the world, a lot of the world thinks that's what it means. It does not. Look it up in the Bible. That feareth the Lord means that we have a reverence, okay? We have a respect for God. And it's okay to be in awe of God, because some of the things He's done for us, I'm in awe of God. And everybody here could probably give some kind of, that's what amazes me, is that God's done great things in all of our lives, but yet we tend to sometimes forget. And we go from this mountaintop, boop, to this mountaintop, boop, bless, no, bless, no, bless. Instead, if we remember the goodness of our God, and we stay in that spiritual blessing, then we do mountaintops and we don't have any of those. That's what that spiritual blessing is. So no, we don't fear the Lord. We're not afraid of God, but we're in awe. We have the utmost respect for our Lord. that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Now, commandments, most people think of the Ten Commandments, but there was only ten, and in the Old Testament, nobody could keep them. So that's why Jesus came for us. See, the whole Bible is full of commandments, not just the Big Ten, as they call them. I don't know why. I've heard people refer to the Ten Commandments as the Big Ten. Because Jesus said the greatest commandment of all is to love God. Amen? And the second commandment is to love our neighbor. Amen? Some of y'all say, not some of you, all of you try to say, I love my neighbor. There you go. That was good for a first try. If we learn to operate and we keep love in our heart, and we act when God tells us to act, then we operate in the spiritual blessing. Amen? Don't turn a deaf ear to God. As you grow in your spiritual walks, and some people are different, you know, they call them, you know, old Christians, young believers, and that doesn't mean age for some, but it means that where you're at in what you're learning biblically, in your spirituality. But as you grow, then you learn how to, oh, that is a God, and that I don't have to be afraid of that. When God told me to go in, we were in the mall the other day, and there was a big old boy in the eye doctor place, and he was running it, and he's sitting in there with his headphones on, and no customers. We walked by there, and I go, oh, wait a minute. Holy Spirit said, go tell that man to God bless you and that he loves you. So I just went in there. But used to? Oh, no, I'm going, I didn't hear that. That was a devil. That wasn't, I ain't going in there. I went in there, y'all. Here's the deal I've learned. It's not about me. I went in, and I said, hey, brother. I said, God just wanted me to come in here and tell you God bless you and he loves you. I was so blessed by his reaction. You should have seen his face light up. He goes, thank you so much. I was blessed by that. See, we have to learn to take us out of the equation. Because in order for us to operate in the spiritual blessing, it has to be about God's order of our steps. We have to step on those steps. Five things to get out of your comfort zone. Number one, trust God. In the Bible, fear not is in there 365 times. One for each day of the year. Pretty cool, huh? And what it means is we're not supposed to fear anything. So when you're being drugged to get out of your comfort zone and that voice is going, oh, that's not you, you know, no, that's not me, I'm not getting, No, you've got to trust God that that's him. And because here's the thing, if it's God, and you know it is because it's a good thing. It makes you a little uncomfortable as far as I got to do something that I don't know how to do. But it's good. Because if it's God, it's good. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. So if God's telling you to do it, then man, I'm in. Because I know that something good is going to happen. It may not be the smoothest because we've learned that we do go through things, but it's how we react when we go through those things. Isaiah 42:16. Real quick. love this scripture. Isaiah 42:16. And it says, "And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not." So when he's trying to move you, he's going to show you a way that you didn't know. So if he's trying to move you out of your comfort zone to something new, you're not going to know the way. But you can trust God, because I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light unto them, before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Y'all, that's a promise. That when he starts moving us out of our comfort zone, we can trust him, and he's going to make us be able to see what he wants us to do. And we talked about it before. The reason he doesn't necessarily come out and go, "Okay, here it is," is it'd probably scare us so bad we couldn't. What? We're going to do what? No. We have to trust him, because he will make the dark the light. He will make a crooked path straight. I love that. Don't you? He will make a crooked path straight. Number two. Fear is not from God. Fear is not from God. In 2 Timothy 1:7 it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." If you look at the Amplified, I like what it says about a sound mind. It says calm. Calm. He gave us power. He gave us love, so that when we start having doubts and fears, or trying to, that's just the devil. I was running that skid steer out there the other day, and it's not very wide and big. And of course, Chance is out there, man, he's zipping around there, flying. And I gotta tell it, because she called while we were out there working. And she goes, "I see you." I said, "I don't think you do." She goes, "Yeah, I see you on the..." "Oh, no, that's not you. He's going too fast." Oh. But when I was running the skid steer, I was in places that there weren't a lot of room. And they were straight down and straight up. And I'm going to tell y'all something. It makes you pucker in places you ain't supposed to pucker. God is my witness. When you are doing some of those things and having to turn and, oh, Jesus. And so I stopped, and we stopped for a minute, and Chance and I were talking. This is how good God is, y'all. Chance goes, "You've got to learn to trust your machine. That machine's not going to turn over doing certain things. You have to learn to trust your machine." And I'm like, "You've got to learn to trust God is our machine, y'all." And when we learn that God's not going to let us turn over, even though I sure thought I was several times, whoo, then we get it done. But we have to learn to trust our machine, and that's to trust God. Number three, if God calls you to it, he will get you through it. If he calls you to it, he'll get you through it. You don't have to turn here, but I'm going to. Philippians 1:6. It says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And I like what the Amplified says, "developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you." You see, so whatever good work he starts in us, when he gets us off that couch and out of our comfort zone, he's going to perfect it, y'all. He's going to perfect us. And if we learn to lean into him more and more and more and more, He'll see it to full completion. Man, that's good. I want God, man, wouldn't it like, it's so, it would be neat to say, man, I'm full and complete. Thank you, Jesus. I know I'm not. I'm getting there. I'm trying. But wouldn't you like to be able to say that? To hear God say that? Number four, ask for wisdom. James 1:5, it says that if we lack wisdom, we can ask for it, and he'll give it to us liberally and upbraideth not. That he will give wisdom to whoever asks for wisdom. That's a promise. When we're in our out of our comfort zone and we're taking on something new, why don't we ask God, hey, I don't get it. I prayed a lot driving that skid steer, going up and down those hills, and I prayed in tongues, and I did, man, I prayed a lot. But I never turned over. Thank you, Jesus. Because God's there. He's there to protect. I ask for wisdom. Number five, get rid of those thoughts of doubt. Those thoughts of doubt are not your thoughts. Those thoughts of doubt come from the devil. And we've got to learn that we can get rid of those doubts. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and of not of evil, to give you an expected end." We have to, it's like Proverbs says, 3, says that trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our understanding, and he will direct our paths. The key is, y'all, when we get out of our comfort zone, we have to trust God. He's going to direct our steps wherever we go. When he directs our steps, we know that something good is going to come. Everybody say good. Good. All right, you're still awake. Good. God's going to do something good when he starts stirring that inside you. Don't ignore it, y'all. Get off the couch and do it. It doesn't matter what age you are. You can be youngsters. You can be oldsters. God still uses us all to do things, to touch people. People are the most important thing that we have to do. We have to spread God's word, and that means to go and love on people, y'all. Laurie and I were somewhere yesterday, and young people were like, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir. And I told Laurie, I said, you know, the junk that they show on TV, our world's not near as bad as they show. It's not. We were in Marble Falls yesterday. We had lunch at Chili's, and the young people in there held the door open for us, and you'd say, thank you, and they'd say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Young people not running over you, being polite. They didn't even work there. You know, if the people that are working there, they get paid, they better be nice. And sometimes they're not, but I'm telling y'all, young people, it's the world is not near as bad as what the TV's showing it, and we have to change our thinking, y'all. We as believers have to start reaching to those people and going, man, come on. Yes, you go. I'm praying for you. I'm believing for you. You can do it. Amen? I'm going to give you this verse, and we're going to close. I already said I'd close, because if I hadn't said, I still got 2 or 3 left. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Y'all, that's what we're called to do. We're called for his purpose, not ours. And when we learn to operate in his purpose, and it's a choice, remember? It's a choice on what we do. You have a choice to get off the couch, you have a choice to operate in the blessing and with the spiritual blessing. Once you get in that spiritual blessing, y'all, you can stay there. You don't have to go from blessing to blessing to blessing. You can operate in the spiritual blessing and stay there. Amen? So have a good time this morning. You know, we never do a service without giving someone a chance to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I ask you today to make today your God day. That means that you can operate in that spiritual blessing. That when you can trust, you have somebody that you can trust and turn to, that guides you, directs your steps. But as I said, it's a choice. It's a choice. There is a heaven and a hell. And if you've never chosen Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, man, I ask you to do it today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never accepted Jesus, please make today your God day. We're not going to have you run down to the front or do anything like that. We're just going to say a prayer right where you sit. And you're going to say this prayer out loud. But you're not going to say it by yourself, because we're going to have all the believers here say it with you. Because we need to be able to lead people to the Lord. So right now, if you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to say this prayer and mean it and say it out loud. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess that you are my Lord and Savior. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. And I believe that you rose from the dead. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Thank you for my spiritual blessing. And thank you that today, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed still, please. If this is you, that you just confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. I'm going to ask you to do one thing. On the count of three, I just want you to put your hand up and put it right back down. We're going to get you a Bible. But also the Word says, don't be afraid to confess me before man, and I'll confess you before the Father. So on the count of three, if this is you, if you just confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't be afraid. Be bold, because today is your day. One, two, three. Get your hand up. All right, everybody, look at me. Man, we're all saved and going to heaven. That's a good thing. Amen. But we're going to get Howdy up here. You can wear my hat and vest if you want to.
Four, five, six.